And welcome back to the Boundary Corner Podcast, along with my partners Brian Siegler, Jonathan Talley, and Shelton Moss. I am Curtis Wilson, and this episode is brought to you by Dr. Jeremy Counts at the Main Street Pharmacy, your friendly neighborhood pharmacy, 301 South Main Street, Blacksburg. Very proud sponsor of this week's spring game preview. Boy, it's been a long time since it's been all four of us. How has everybody been?
Hey, working. Living the dream, man. Living the dream.
Busy. Shelton is not only busy. Shelton is crisscrossing this country from Florida to Texas. Where else have you been in the last few weeks, Shelton?
We've been to Raleigh. Been to NC State. We've been to South Carolina, Columbia. So we've been kind of all over the place. Been to Longwood last week. So I've been everywhere, man.
He has been everywhere. Tally, you've been everywhere in the state of Alabama the last few weeks, right?
A couple of places. Work, man. It ain't nothing to it but to do it. Work.
Well, as long as they write the checks, right?
Yeah, man, but I'm upset, man. I ain't going to be there this weekend. I was looking forward to it. Man. So, Brian got a ride solo.
Brian ride solo.
I'm holding down the fort for the BCP crew.
Yeah.
Tally, you got a fan on here. Some of the Felton family hollering at you.
Hey.
We appreciate
y'all popping in.
Same with you, Mr. Drones. Well, boys, we do have a lot to unload tonight. We are going to get into the spring game preview in just a little while. But over the last few weeks, there has been some movement within the hoops ranks. We hit it here and there the last couple weeks, trying to hold off and see how many pieces of the puzzle would fall out. And as far as the women's side go, we do finally have a new coach after Kenny Brooks' departure to Kentucky. And that individual is Megan Duffy. She had been at Marquette the last 4 years, where three of the last 4 years she led the Marquette Golden Eagles in the Big East to the NCAA tournament. I would say that's pretty impressive, knowing that that's a Big East women program, not named UConn. So, Shelton went deep diving a little bit on her today. So, we're going to let him answer a few questions. And obviously, Tally, Brian, y'all get what y'all think of her. Read her background. She's literally our age. I think she's 39. Mm-hmm. So, you know, close to our age. But, Shelton, she had two stops prior to here. I'll let you advise what that is. But when you kind of looked at the data, what is it telling you about those stops? And then how did she bring that level of success to Marquette of making three out of four NCAA tournaments?
Yeah, well, she did a really good job at Marquette. She made three out of four NCAAs, like you said. It would have been four out of five if not for COVID, because that COVID team would have absolutely made the tournament. Trying to pull my notes here. Give me one sec. The one season they didn't make it, they were a bubble team that, you know, could have made it. They made the NIT, the WNIT. So really good resume. I think she won about 70% of her games there. You know, she came from Miami of Ohio, where she won 69% of her games and made the WNIT twice there as well. So she's a really consistent winner. I mean, that's all she's done is just one game. She hasn't had a losing season as a head coach. You know, typically Marquette, looking at the Massey ratings, which is sort of like a Kempom equivalent for women's basketball, you know, they were typically a top 40, 50, you know, had one season of being around top 30 or so. So, you know, she did inherit a very good team and a very good program, but most importantly, she was able to sustain that success. It wasn't like some flash in the pan where you inherit a good players from the previous head coach. And the coach that preceded her went to Penn State, and she has not done a very good job. So I think it goes to show that, you know, just because you inherit a good situation doesn't necessarily mean you're going to succeed. And she's done that, especially in the portal era. Being able to sustain that success is really impressive. So, you know, big picture, I think when I look at her success there, she did not have the highest ceiling, but she did have a very, very high floor. So I think Virginia Tech is in a very good spot. I think she's going to make them a consistently competitive program. She's going to put a very good product on the court year in, year out. Now, can they get to the level that they were the past couple of seasons that Kenny Brooks had Tech at? Maybe. We'll see. I certainly hope so. But one thing I can say for sure is that this hire was really good, and she'll have Tech competing night in, night out. And I think this is really the best hire that Tech could have made, really.
So looking at it, you think, like, should be able to consistently compete for ACC championships, may not necessarily be Elite Eight, Final Four every year type caliber that we saw the last couple of years with Kenny Brooks's crew.
Yeah, and the reality is, you know, it's really hard to make the Elite Eight. It's really hard to make the Final Four. Like, winning is just hard. It just is. I mean, when you look at Kenny's resume at JMU, you know, I think he had a stretch that his last 3 years where he went something like 54-3 in his conference. So he turned JMU into a powerhouse program at that level. And so I think it took him a few years to get that at Tech, but eventually he did. So, you know, obviously he's a great coach. When I look at Duffy, you know, it's been much more like consistently good, solid results. Again, not so much, you know, making deep tournament runs, but they made it every year. And I think Marquette it's a solid job, but it's not, you know, it's not necessarily like the peak of women's basketball or anything. And Big East is probably, you know, behind the other Power Five conferences of women's basketball, unlike the men's side. So, you know, I think she did a really good job relative to program expectations. And there's every reason to believe that she will continue doing the same here at Tech.
Yeah, I did a deep dive too on Miss Duffy. What do you say, uh-oh, for Curtis?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I did a deep dive too, man. I went and looked at some images, and I watched her attire on the sideline. And she didn't look the same in that blue that she was sporting as when she came out with that maroon and that orange undershirt. Man, hey, she had them slim fit pants on, and she had them stilettos on. I said, okay, Miss Duff, hey, I don't know nothing about her coaching just yet, but I know, hey, she put that shit on in that presser, boy. She
got style.
She styled it up. Hey, she made that maroon and orange look good. So I'm not hating.
All right. So here's what we got so far. She's a consistent winner. She's never had a losing season. She's been coaching for 7 years. Should have had 4 NCAA tournament appearances. And at the Miami of Ohio, I mean, she was second both times. I'm assuming that's the MAC, which they get one. So, unfortunately, nothing you can do there. She's got style per tally in his notification that watching her.
Y'all got to go see that. Go look at that picture.
All right.
Tell me what you think.
All right. I know that she played at a very successful Notre Dame program where she was a nationally honored player of the year back in the early 2000s. So, obviously, Notre Dame, we know, still a very strong program to this day. Now, we had Kenny, where I felt like Kenny was the inside out. He's going to always have he's looking for a big body on the inside with shooters. What's her scheme, Shelton? What are we going to see? We're going to see something similar. We're going to see different. What does she like to do schematically?
So, I haven't studied her scheme.
Oh, no.
Look, we lost him.
I have never seen that happen.
He got out of here. Ain't no telling where he is. You know, he all over the place.
Come back. Yeah, that's
what was
what happened to you lose control of your tab. I got 10 different tabs up. So
tabs going wild. Tabs going wild.
All right. Yeah. So you were saying you didn't get a chance to look at schematically, but what does like the stats tell you? Just did you get a chance to look at like points?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So So that's what I'm kind of looking at. So I would say, generally speaking, they have been better defensively than offensively. So she's more of a defensive-minded head coach. You know, they typically are around top 30 in defense. You know, offense is a little bit lower. In terms of these specifics, I mean, they're not, you know, sort of kind of what we saw with Kenny. They're not like the in-your-face, you know, going to get like the sexy stats like steals and turnovers and blocks and stuff like that. But for the most part, I mean, they do a pretty good job of preventing, you know, good shooting numbers. Their offensive rating, which is points allowed per 100 possessions last year, was 45th in the country, which is, you know, pretty solid. You know, shooting percentage wise, they're, you know, they're top 130. So pretty good system. I'm sure I can, you know, we'll learn more as we go on, but I would say it's kind of, you know, based on the numbers, it's kind of similar to what we saw the last couple years with Tech. It's much more of like a team defense-based style. Not going to get the turnovers or the blocks, but they will, you know, they will play good team defense and you prevent you from hitting shots for the most part.
Has any portal movement happened? I know we'll talk some on the men's in a few minutes here, but we know who left, but has anything happened as far as coming in? Because I know several of her players effectively got out. One, I think, leading scorer, leading rebounder was out.
Right. Yeah. They, so Marquette had a couple decommits. No one has officially committed to Virginia Tech, and those commits were both, I believe they're four-star recruits, if I'm not mistaken, but very highly touted prospects for sure. So I think if Duffy can bring them on, I mean, you got a pretty solid returning cast coming back. I know no Killian Amor and no Kayla King, but I mean, the thing is, Kenny did such a good job recruiting the last couple cycles that even when you lose some of those players, like, you still got a really good nucleus coming back. So, and they got Hazleton as well to stick on, the incoming freshman. So overall, pretty solid situation to start with.
Nice. Brian, I think you slipped. Did you slip the question in here you wanted to ask about?
Yeah, I mean, and this might play into the schematics a little bit since you haven't really dove into that, but I just was curious, like, what type of players, if you're looking at those recruits that were on Marquette, some of the ones that were being recruited this cycle, what type of players does Duffy want to recruit for success?
Let me pull up their open stuff for one sec. So I haven't looked into it too much. I don't. It's annoying. They don't list the heights on the roster. I haven't looked into it too much. But there, I mean, I would say, generally speaking, you know, they'll have some size, some length, some athleticism. It's hard to square them up with some of the numbers you're looking at, because, like, you know, within like a single season, there's a lot of variation there. But I would guess, based on some of their defensive acumen, you know, she recruits some pretty solid length and size and athleticism. So, but I'm sure I can dig into a little bit more and have a more detailed answer for the next couple of weeks. But yeah, overall, I mean, I think I'm just excited about the hire.
Yeah, I think it's definitely it kind of puts a nice little Band-Aid over the big wound that kind of came out with Kenny moving on, and, you know, everything that happened with Liz ahead of that, and then, you know, the transfers. I think this kind of settled everyone down a little bit, and I think saying, okay, we still got a good foundation here. Let's build off of that and keep this thing moving.
Yeah, I think the good thing is that it's very easy to rebuild your roster in basketball, especially with the portal now. I don't think this is going to be like a, you know, 2022 football situation where you're kind of building up from ground zero. That cupboard is not, it's not full, but it's also not barren either. They got some pieces to work with.
Yeah,
that is very true, with the pieces to work with. And there's another thing that I'll say, and y'all know I'm always thinking money sometimes, but y'all saw the contract. Y'all saw the contract. She is slightly under $1 million her first few years, and then slightly over into years 3, 4, and 5. And, you know, y'all know my feelings towards that. Like, paying, I mean, love Kenny Brooks, love where he took us. Paying him $2.5 to $3 million, that is a lot of money for a women's basketball coach. That is a lot of money. Unless you're going to the Final Four every year or going to the championship every year. You do that, sure. And y'all know right now with everything going on, we're now effectively putting, because he was making 1.6 last year. What are we going to do with that $800,000? Because, you know, and this is a little off topic. Tally, I think we sent it to you today. Shelton, I know you probably saw the news. We're about to sign a law in the state of Virginia where the school can pay the players. Doesn't need to be NIL collectors anymore. What are you going to do with that $800,000?
Go get you a 5-star running back.
There you go. So now the question is, if she comes in at that salary and has the success Cindy did, she'll get paid more? Yes. But again, we will see that.
Yeah, right. And I think we talked about it last week when we were talking about what this would look like. You know, we thought that over the course of that initial contract, probably going to average about in the ballpark of that $1 million that Kenny was when he kind of came in. So we're still kind of over the course of that contract, you're going to average about it right at that $1 million level. So, you know, but in the short term, you free up a little bit of money in that department that can get allocated to potentially other areas that could garner more short-term success. So,
don't say areas. One area.
Just say it. Just say it.
One area, bro.
But the other pieces, I think we all are looking here and, you know, hearing what Sheldon's got to say about her is talking about the roster turnover, probably going to bring in a couple of her players. we're probably going to be right back in the tournament next year with her record of success. And it's like, okay, we're paying her, you know, $2 million less and we're in the same spot again. That's what you want to do.
And that's kind of when I was looking at her coming in, I was like, very similar thoughts to Sheldon is that, you know, we don't really know where the ceiling is at this point. And I don't necessarily know that on paper it raises the ceiling, but it certainly keeps the floor as high, if not higher, than what we had with Kenny. So I think that's probably the most reassuring thing at this point is that, you know, we're not going to see a fall off of the program.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of how I looked at it too. You know what I'm saying? Kenny did a great job coaching and recruiting. You know, taking a team to new heights. It's me
and developing
definitely. But me watching it, you know what I'm saying? Me watching through this year and looking at stuff, like, I thought for sure that, you know, Liz and Georgia would be gone anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I thought, no matter what happened, they would be gone. Now, I didn't think he was going to leave and then she was going to go to Kentucky. So when everybody was kind of freaking out, I thought both of them were going to the, you know, WNBA. But, you know, it's like, I thought that was the last we was going to see of them anyway. So it was kind of like definitely bittersweet to see her transfer and go somewhere else. But it's like, I thought that was the last time I seen them, you know, play for Virginia Tech anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Georgia had another year of eligibility. I didn't think she was going to take it.
Right.
It was kind of a, you know, it's hard with the WNBA because,
right,
like right now, most collegiate women basketball players can make more if they're playing at a very high level. Can make more in college than they can in the WNBA alone. Now I know a lot of them are playing overseas and all these other things to supplement that, but in terms of just raw dollars, I mean, there's a lot more potential for a high level player in college than it is directly in the WNBA right now. And I think some of the ratings that we saw in the tournament kind of, you know, back that up. I mean, the college game is getting a lot more eyes on it right now than it ever has. And also significantly more than you see for the pro game.
100%. All right. Well, before we jump into football, let's flip a little bit and talk about the men's game. Shelton informed us a little early this evening. He is going to be putting out an article on the key play, kind of taking an overall look at it. And so, Shelton, before we get into a couple of the points we want to hit here, what is, you know, what do you feel like you found out after doing this sort of research project about effectively the state of the basketball program?
Yeah, well, a few things. I mean, if you want to talk, you know, kind of the micro picture, I think over the past couple of years, you know, the coaching staff, Mike Young, has made some missteps with regards to roster management, retention, obviously losing, you know, Darius Maddux and Rodney Rice. You know, to what degree is he responsible for that? I mean, you can debate it, but it obviously hurt them. And, you know, in the macro picture, I think NIL has become increasingly a problem for the men's basketball side. Just because, you know, Triumph is putting, you know, almost all their resources into the football side, and that's benefited Brent Pry tremendously, but it's also come at the cost of men's basketball. So, you know, I've heard not great things about, you know, their current overall spending numbers. And, you know, when I look at, I think what I was trying to do is really compare and contrast years 2 and 3 of the Young era with years 4 and 5, which is the last two. And when I do that, I think the biggest variable that's changed really is NIL, because I think those first couple of years, you sort of had this, you know, scrappy roster with a bunch of lower rated kids like a Mutz or an Aluma or a Couture or a Star Murphy. And they all kind of punched about their weight class and it was really good basketball. But the last 2 years, it just hasn't really been the same. They're getting some guys in that don't really fit. The evaluations haven't been great. It's kind of an odd mishmash of pieces that the roster just doesn't really, it doesn't look like a Mike Young roster really. And I know he's a great coach. I trust his evaluation skills, but something over the past couple of years, it just doesn't seem like it's real Mike Young basketball. And I would argue that NIL is a big part of that because I just don't think that they're getting the guys that they want to get. And so the question for Tech is, you know, how much are they going to support the program? And for Young, you know, I think he needs to embrace NIL more. I do. I know some people would dispute me on that and say it's out of his control, but you know, he hasn't really said anything about NIL in 2 years of being our head coach. in 2 years of, you know, NIL being a big thing, really, whereas Brent Pry has been talking about all the time. So I think a few things need to happen. First, Tech has to reassess, you know, the support that they want to give the program. Young has to embrace NIL a little bit more, and he's got to make better roster decisions. I think it's that simple. So I'm trying to balance all those two things at the same time.
All righty. Well, now let's kind of hit this piece, and it's kind of been known. I mean, I'm going to give Mike Young a lot of credit because the team on the floor we had did not meet the expectations that a lot of us thought were happening. And instead of saying we're going to ride again with this same group, I mean, kid's gone. Kid's gone to Miami. Camden's gone. Padula's gone. MJ Collins is gone. Poteet was out. Now he's back in. Tyler Nichols gone. I mean, y'all, I just mentioned a bunch of guys who played a lot of minutes, scored points, grabbed rebounds for us. Sheldon, when you were doing the deep dive, did you get a chance to look at this and kind of see why? Or is it going back to what you said that there's some mismatch pieces and was Mike Young just cleaning house because he knew it was time?
Yeah, so, you know, people have criticized Young's retention in the past, I think maybe a little bit unfairly. This year is much different because, you know, Tech is losing a bunch of players that, you know, in some cases are starters, role players that they obviously want to have on the team next year. I think when I look at the portal exodus that happened a couple of weeks ago, it was almost entirely due to the fact that a lot of these guys want to see what their market value is. And so they're entering the portal. You know, they see what they can make at other schools. And if they don't like what they see, they'll come back. And so Petit decided to come back. Collins decided he wanted to go elsewhere. Nichols is almost certainly gone. I mean, I think he's probably going to get – he's going to get it back from someone. I don't know who it's going to be, but he's, you know, he's not coming back. Padula's not coming back, I don't think. So, yeah, it's just right now they're just – I mean, they're just not competitive. I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for Young, but when you're you know, NIL is this uncompetitive, it's just hard to retain players like that. Now, that being said, to your point, Curtis, I do think the guards and the wings kind of needed a makeover. So some of it is really good. I think Ivy Curry, the kid from UTSA, is a huge upgrade over Collins. And they also got Ben Burner from CFC, who I think could be an upgrade over Robbie Barron as well. So to that extent, I think it's good. But at the same time, they've got one scholarship point guard on the roster next year, and it's and it's Brandon Rechsteiner, who Young did not even trust to play this year. So they got ways to go, man. It's not going to end right here. They still got some work to do.
Tally, I'm going to ask you a question because obviously
– Don't do it.
No. Here's my question. Of those six guys that were out, now it's five because, you know, Petit back is obviously going to be on the bench. Who are you most shocked by? Like, who didn't you want to lose? Like, man, like
– I like Tyler Nichol. I think Tyler Nichol brought – yeah, I think he just brought something a little bit different. But I feel like he was kind of – again, watching Mike Young play basketball reminds me of like a coach that, not saying he's not a good coach, but he seems like a systems coach. So it's a certain system that you have to play in. And some players just, like if you go watch AAU basketball nowadays, it's all like freelancing, you know. Tyler Nichol seems like a kid that plays like that. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, kind of you have to give him the ball in space and let him do some things or, you know, let him shoot. Mike Young, he has a certain system that he runs, and some people fit good in that, some people don't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
got it. Yeah.
Justin Mutz fit good in that system for Young. You know, Grant Bazili, he fit good in that system. Like, he likes those 6'8", 6'9" center type players that can move out and shoot the three. But, you know, when you got a four that needs to be a stretch four, but your five is a stretch five, like, where do they play? So that system kind of doesn't work together. So like Sheldon said, I feel like it's kind of been a mismatch of players. And then with his guard play, I mean, Sheldon hit the nail on the head when he said, like, the people that he brought in really, like, punched above their weight class. When you look at, like, Storm Murphy and some of the other guards, like, you can't be – for all the shit that the ACC takes – the ACC basketball, like the guards in the ACC, are usually pretty big physical guards and are very athletic, you know, and our guards have not been that, you know. Yeah. We haven't been going and getting it, and when we do get it, you know, it doesn't come together so we can see what it looks like. So I've been disappointed with not with Mike Young or the team, but just like the system that he's trying to run in the ACC. I just don't think that you can have longevity and success with that kind of system. You know, that's a Wofford system. He's got to change some stuff up. I mean, I haven't done a whole bunch of like research on the kid, the Curry kid, but you see Kevin, he's down from where Kevin's from. Kevin, as soon as we got him, Kevin said, you know, that kid can play, you know. Yeah. So I got to do a little bit of research to see what he looks like. But, I mean, you got to get you some bigger guards to be able to match up with some of these guys that you're going to go against, you know, day in and day or night in and night out.
Yeah, bigger guards, more athleticism. I think, you know, the ability to get your own shot a little more consistently. I feel like we've lacked some of that ability as well, especially on the wing and at the guard position. So, you know, if I'd like to see more of that in terms of the guys we're bringing in. And I think the unfortunate thing is that you felt like we had some of that in these last couple classes, three classes, that most of that talent is now playing on some other team. For one reason or another. So I think that's the more frustrating part from my perspective is trying to reconcile that, right?
You know what threw me for a loop, like out of everything that's happened since Mike Young been here? Why did Grant Bazile lead the country? Like, what? He just was like, I need to get away.
Like, he went to Italy, man. You heard about the food over there?
Yeah, he said, fuck it, I'm out.
And money. The money he can make playing internationally compared to the NIL that we can offer, apparently. I mean, he said,
I'm gone.
That's what it is.
Go to Italy.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat good food, and I'm going to get paid $375,000 a year.
I need to look
it up. In a Mediterranean climate.
I need to look it up and see how he's doing.
Probably good. Probably good. It was definitely a miss this year. Can we say this, though? You talked about Ivy Curry already. And how he's different. Kevin mentioned on there. Kevin and William mentioned he's a bucket on there. And then you got Burnham coming up from COC.
Is that Bo's brother?
Oh, God. Fine. Just. but, you know, I got a cousin down in Charleston and messaged me when he transferred. And he said, I don't know if he can handle ACC start and play, but he can definitely be your bench. 6'7". Tally looked at him, looked a little film, said, that's my young guy.
Yeah, that's Mike Young. Man. Yeah, that's
what, Mike Young right there.
That's his guy. That's what he goes and recruits, man. That's what he brings in. So
but what I'm hearing is I think we all see some of the sets that Mike runs are successful. Mike Young, to me, it's probably gonna be has to have him mature over the next 2 to 3 years. It's like you can still run that system, but you have to start separating it, right? Like you just Tally, Sheldon, y'all were mentioning. You've got to have guys that can just take over. You can still have your set plays because, by God, I told my son, we watched a bunch of the NCAA, and somebody called a timeout. And I tell him, I'm like, watch his set play. It's going to come out there, going to score a bucket in about 6 seconds. And every single time, set play, boom, boom, three-pointer in. He's like, how'd you know that? I'm like, it's the way college coaches run things. Like, they get them because you always see them take it after a big run. You know, you go down 7 or 8. Hey, call the timeout. We're going to run a play. We're going to stop the run right here. He's got to develop and evolve into – it's okay to still have your system, but you've got to start looking for other things. And the question is, can he do that over the next few years? Tally, before we go any further, just so Eric here's got a question for you. Where'd you get the hat?
What is it? Fanatics? Yeah, I think it's Fanatics is where I got it from.
All right. So
most of the time, that's where, I mean, unless I go to Blacksburg and pick them up, I'm usually picking up stuff off there, but I stay online too much, man. If I see something, I just, my daughter taught me how to online shop, so I just grab it.
Oh, man. Because we saw Tally yesterday. We had a little podcast session on our new network, effectively, and he had a different hat on. There's another Virginia Tech hat on yesterday. But anything else y'all want to hit as far as it goes with the with hoops? Feel like we put it to rest. Other than,
are we going after Milt Chamberlain?
No.
Steph Blurry. No.
Steph Curry.
I like Steph Curry.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem.
I like the Sam.
He's gonna get some money from somebody.
I don't think he's paying.
But by all means, Tally, you talk about it. You talk about a stretch five that can do that stuff. He fit.
But the thing is with him is like he plays more of a – he is a stretch five, but he plays a little bit bigger too. Like I think more, you know, Mike Young's centers are like – he likes them to play a little bit less big than that kid does. But, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see him in Blacksburg. I think it sells some tickets at least.
Touche.
All right. Sell some T-shirts if nothing else.
And you know how many goggles – you know how many goggles them kids will go buy? Bottom goggles out, man.
Let me ask y'all this because we talked about it a little bit last night, and Shelton, we didn't get your opinion on it. How big of a deal is it what's about to be passed in here in Virginia with the NIL stuff? Because we got a chance to mention it last night, and you know we kind of know our own opinions on it, and y'all can check that out. What do you think of it? Like, how big of a deal is it?
I think it's awesome. I think Virginia's kind of getting a head start in this, you know, being able to work the NIL funds through the athletic department, which is what I understand is going on here. I feel like NIL is such a weird, shady concept where you've basically got this, you know, third party slush fund. All these, you know, the paying customers are crowdsourcing essentially the salaries of the players. I mean, no, you can't say salary, but like that's what it is. You're paying guys essentially, you know, through advertisements. And so we the customers are footing the bill for not only the NIL stuff, but also the facilities, you know, the staffing, the operations budget, like it's all coming through donations. So it's like, what are we doing here? So my hope is that eventually in the future, we can have some sort of, you know, revenue sharing, collective bargaining type of model, because I think that's the only sustainable way. Like asking, you know, the fans to, you know, donate on top of, you know, the facilities stuff, the NIL as well, and then having it operate through these collectives where, you know, they operate in complete secrecy. You don't know the exact numbers. You don't know where they're putting the money. They can decide to put it wherever they want to. It's just kind of a mess. So anything to get more clarity and transparency and funnel the fundraising efforts through the athletic department, I think would be a great thing.
Yeah, and I think you'll see those collectives turn into more of like kind of the management, the marketing arm, the arbiters, the go-betweens between those opportunities and the athletic department, not necessarily fully absorbed, but still kind of a partnership. But you don't necessarily have to have the money fully going into that avenue. It can be allocated to those efforts through the school. And as you said, Sean, I think that makes it a little more above board, and it gives the school some flexibility as far as what they want to earmark for NIL, how they want to earmark money for facilities improvements and things like that. They have a little bit more flexibility with how that gets managed because it doesn't have to be in two different buckets anymore.
Yeah. And that's a problem for Tech basketball is that like, if you cannot donate to Triumph and donate to basketball specifically, like if you give to Triumph decides where that money goes. You do not have any say in where the money goes. So if they're putting the money to football, it's going to football and you cannot do anything about it. So I think, you know, getting rid of that system would be good.
All righty. Well, as everything goes down in the next few years, we'll definitely be keeping an eye talking about it. Now, before we get into everything spring game, we are going to take a quick pause from our digital partners and Main Street Pharmacy.
I can probably save you a lot of money, and I can take a lot better care of you. That's pretty much it. My name is Jeremy Counts, and I'm a pharmacist. I own and operate Main Street Pharmacy here in downtown Blacksburg. My brother's a pharmacist, I'm a pharmacist, my uncle's a pharmacist, my dad's a pharmacist. I remember he would give me M&Ms to count in little pill counters. This is something I've always done, and I'm just lucky that what I know so well is something that I can do and feel good about it and give back to people. Pharmacies are your frontline defense. Pharmacy's job is to make sure you're getting optimal care for the lowest price possible. Also, we take the pressure off of emergency rooms. I'll tell people immediately when they need to go to the doctor, or I'll tell them if they just need a cream over the counter. If there's something that isn't commercially available, if it's something that's not available in a certain strength or a certain form or anything like that, we'll make it. Tailor-made medications. Some of those options save people a lot of money. What motivates me? I get to take care of people and limit Blacksburg. That's all I need.
As we take a quick break, we'd like to tell you about getting your free website report from our digital partner, Grassroots Digital Marketing Studio. They'll tell you how your website ranks on Google, on-site SEO, and social media. No commitment to buy anything. You can get your free report by visiting grassrootsdigitalstudio.com/free-website-report. Now back to the episode.
All righty. So before we get into diving, talking a little bit about the spring game itself, there are a few things going on down in Blacksburg over this weekend. And unfortunately, Sheldon's going to be in Texas. I got youth baseball. Tally traveling next week for work, so he can't come up. Brian is our lone man, lone wolf. And Brian, what all you got going on you're going to be doing up in the Berg over the weekend?
Yeah, so me and Wifey are heading up there. We're taking off from here about lunchtime on Friday. We'll be heading to the Spring Jam on Friday night. And we got the big pregame show the next day at Tots, 12:15 p.m. Everybody be there. It's going to be yours truly. There's going to be folks from Sons of Saturday, Too Deep, Tales from the Terror Dome, Virginia Tech is for Lovers, VT4L crew. We got Drift there. So it's going to be a little bit of everybody. So pull through, have some questions for us,
drink,
interact with us, get a rail, get a beer.
Three rails.
Have a good time, and then we'll be probably up on Chicken Hill for a little bit in the morning. So come swing by there and see us too.
Nice. Yeah, we did that pregame show. Pete did a good job last year putting everything together, having everybody in the right spot. So shout out to Pete B last year for putting that together. But it was a good time, man. I mean, it was the who's who. You know, Cam Chancellor's walking through. Wyatt Teller's walking through, you know, as of last year. I don't know who's going to be there this year, but I'm just saying, if you got time to show up to the pregame show, it was definitely a good time. I recommend everybody stop by there and show some love, man.
And if you can't make it, it's going to be on Sun's Twitter, our Twitter, nice. Sun's YouTube, our YouTube. So go grab it wherever you can. It'll be live at 12:15.
The question is, yeah, how many rails are you having, Brian, during the episode?
I mean, you know, I've been told that if you do more than two in a 3-hour sitting, you're an animal. So I guess I'm going to be an animal.
You're going to be an animal. Wait a second. When we went up for the pit game, me and you both had two in like an hour sitting.
Yeah, we're kind of crazy.
You know,
I drink a fifth of Evan Williams on this podcast. So,
well, I think Jeremy said
we're not the barometer for responsible consumption of alcohol here.
Yeah, I think Jeremy said he's gonna have his baby girl with him. So,
oh my god,
he might be if he's got the baby on the little, you know, the thing that you carry on your.
He'll look like Alan from
Hangover. Yeah. He's gonna be like Alan from the Hangover in that thing. Yeah, so yeah. That'd be cool. We see him like that.
All righty. Well, Brian, enjoy it, man. We look forward to some picks and your stories for it next weekend. All right. Well, let's get into the spring game itself. And today, during Coach Pry's interview, hold on. Kevin, if you're going to be up, you swing by Tots at 12:15 and Brian will buy you a rail. It is the signature drink at Tots in Blacksburg. It's every rail drink.
Every rail liquor. You get a little bit of little bit of juice topped off at the end there just to
don't do that.
To keep it smooth.
Don't do it.
Just enough to keep it smooth at the end there.
Yep. It'll get you feeling good.
If you ask somebody what a drink is and they can't give you a straight answer, don't fucking drink it.
It's good. That's all I can say. I had my first.
It'll creep up on you. It's a creeper.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about now. Coach Pry kind of revealed the format today. First half, regular clock the first quarter, 15 minutes, 12 minutes second quarter. And then basically running clock in the second half with 2 12 minutes. As y'all know, this is where my pain point is when it comes to the spring game. Because unfortunately, Coach Prime broke my heart again this year, and we're going to have split rosters again. y'all chuckling.
Curtis upset that after we had Pry on last year that he didn't listen to him.
Hey, but you know what? He's staying true to form, though. We ain't there depth-wise. We ain't there depth-wise. And I get it. And I get with the split rosters and everything where you still want to see guys compete because, you know, you do get a feeling that probably there were guys who took some meaningful reps in the second half that may have made themselves on special teams, may have made themselves get some snaps. So I get it. But, you know, I just want to see 1-1. I want to see the best line against the best line, the best corners against the best wide out.
I think we're finally at a point where split rosters from a depth standpoint is going to look a little bit better. I do feel like we've got 7 or 8 reliable offensive linemen now. That's not quite a full 2 lines there, but I think we're getting a little bit closer to what that looks like.
I don't even need to see some people this year. I know what they look like. Put QB1 in a bubble, leave him on the sideline. We know what he can do. I can't even think. The wide receivers, the old ones, we don't need to see what they can do. We know what they can do. The top 4, hey, leave them alone. Tootin, leave him alone. He carried the ball enough. He ran enough. He was jumping over people against fucking Florida State. I don't need to see him in a practice game. You know, I'm fine.
When we get to the offensive side in a little while, I know exactly. His tally's going to be like 1 word, don't play, or 2 words, don't play. Let's talk
defense. Hey, we got new guy. We got new King in here again. New King, we're going to have to get you. When we play Miami, man, we need to get you on this show before and after. Because, hey, we appreciate you popping in, man.
Absolutely.
It started off as a rivalry, but now – between me and you, it's a civil rivalry, a sibling rivalry. So you, Sibley. Hey, we're gonna get you on here, and we're gonna do.
We're gonna bust your ass, but we're gonna have you on here and have.
We're
a good time.
We're gonna get you on here, man. We're gonna have a good time. Okay. Appreciate you for popping in.
Reaching across the bounds of fandoms here, but let's talk about what we want to see in this game, and I want to start on defense because that's just where I wanted to start. And let's talk D line.
Because fuck y'all, right? Let's roll.
There you go.
D-line, baby.
D-line. Let's talk D-ends. Hey, what? We talked enough about, you know, we'll talk about the offense because we know. And Tally already put his statement on basically 3 position groups. So he ain't going to have anything to say in 20 minutes here. But what are we looking at from the end? Because we feel like – this is my feeling on it. APR is an absolute stud. Cole Nelson's your steady Eddie. Burgos flashed – and what are we – I mean, are we looking for a – do we need 1? Do we need 2? Do we need – what do y'all want to see? Yeah, I don't care who takes it.
Brian, come on, man. Hit me with something.
You know what? You know, let me get – you know, we're going to get – are we going to see some more from C.J. McCray? Are we going
to – I need to know, man. I mean, we've seen a little bit, but then we don't see him. So I'd like to know where he's at.
It's like flashes, right? Yeah. I've seen flashes, and I think if we get some consistency, if he gets to that level where he's able to put those pieces together consistently, especially on non-obvious passing downs, I mean, because he's a beast coming around that edge, and he gets after the quarterback, and I think he does a good job of being disruptive, but I think sometimes when that first move isn't working or he doesn't get his hands there right out the gate, that's when he struggles and can kind of get ate up and kind of get lost in the shuffle there.
All right. So C.J. McCray's who's got y'all's eye on. C.J. looking a little bit bigger. They got him listed at almost 250 pounds this year where he'd been tendering at, 230? Sheldon, you got anything on the defensive ends?
Not really. Honestly, I mean, I like the continuity there. You know, I think I'm trying to refresh my brain a little bit. I mean, you got most of the guys returning. I think it'll be a pretty solid unit. I know that I believe it was Bill Connolly who said that returning production on the defensive line is actually more important than returning production at other positions. So if you have continuity there, I mean, that's you're really set there. So I think the amount of returning production that Tech has there is going to bode pretty well. So I'm excited to see how it turns out.
All righty. Now there is one other part of the defensive line, and that's defensive tackles. Tally, do you want any of the starting 4 to even play?
Man, I don't even know. So I think what it is really, you know, I'm saying stuff joking, but if you got some stuff where they're, because they're football players and they gotta play football. Yeah. You know what I mean? But when you got something in a setting like that, you know, it does show you who shows up, you know, when the lights come on. So if you got somebody that's battling for like a spot, you know, a two man, three man, whatever, because the name of the game for that defensive line has got to be depth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got a couple of top guys there, but you got to see what your depth pieces are. So, I mean, you got to go in and you got to see kind of who we're going to be able to put in, because that's what hurt us in the last couple of years was not having that depth when one person went out or a certain person went out, you know, that line crumbled. So, or, you know, when Feldarius Payne wasn't in, you know, it was noticeable. You know, when his emergence came, the line went different. So you want to kind of find that early instead of, you know, and sometimes it does come later in the season, but if you can find that in the spring and then work on that all during the summer, definitely helps. So with these guys, I think, you know, we did bring in, you know, a couple of transfers and that, well, you know, that's going to play a lot of snaps for us. So you do want to see like how they move together, but it's always like a worry when you have the guys that are older guys that are going, like, do you want to see Peebles really play? Like, you kind of, you know what he can do. Do you want to see him out there? You know, I don't know.
Not for extended snaps. I think you want to kind of see him flash, get him some live reps against, you know, full speed competition, but I don't think you want to necessarily throw him out there for more than a quarter worth of snaps.
Right.
I'm really interested to see what we get from Malachi Madison, because I feel like we need to start seeing that fifth or sixth guy in the rotation, knowing that, you know, a good number of even the guys that we brought in this cycle, we're not going to have this time next year. So thinking long-term, I care about 2024, but I also care about what we're going to look like in 2025 and 26, and getting a guy like Madison in there where he's kind of, you know, showing what he can do. He can be a guy that can be a part of that rotation, that one and two group rotation, you know, this time next year, I think is going to be important. So to me, in the spring game, I'm looking for that five and six spot, because I feel like, you know, one through four are pretty solid in terms of knowing what we can expect from them. I'd like to see Gilliam in some situations, because I feel like he's probably got the least experience of that first four. I'd like to see him get some extra run and give him a few different looks against different offensive linemen there. But I think overall, I want to see what that five and six guys look like in the rotation there.
Yeah, you say that. We already know Andrew Hanchuk. That was mentioned that he will not play. He's nicked. He's already, like, scratched. Y'all know Pry's feelings on that. Somebody slightly nicked, if they get nicked in the next few days, they ain't playing. And I love that philosophy. Where I was more interested to see, especially with the new four, because, Brian, I think you're right, Kelvin Gilliam probably should be the transfer that plays the most because of his lack of time playing down at Oklahoma. Right. He's also
the guy we have for the longest of that group, too. So,
yeah, it's true. He's going to be here longer than – well, him and Copeland are basically all the same. They got 2 years left. They can play this year and next. But the bigger piece with what I wanted to see, and we're probably not going to see it, I wanted to see how they rotate. I wanted to see who's in there with who. Do they let Fuga play some one or maybe even zero because of who we have now, right? At 308, do you say, listen, Gilliam's 298. He can play over here at the two. We can go to zero. We can run some different sets. I don't think we're going to see that because, Brian, I think y'all are both right. I think Fuga, I think Copeland, and I think Peoples, I think they're playing one quarter. And I don't think they're going to be on the field. And to Brian's point, who's five and six? Is it Wilford Penei? Is it Malachi Madison? And then let Gilliam get in there and kind of be the lead dog. So I think just from this group, I do want to see the cohesive unit. That's where I wanted that 1-1 where you had APR, Peebles, Fuga, because I do think Fuga's going to start just because of having that girth. And then Cole Nelson, like to see that because of Shelton's point, returning production. And we have a very highly returning production line, and we're dropping an all-ACC defensive tackle right in the middle of it who produced last year. So Couple things I'm going to throw up here real quick. Big Mitch asked a question. Gunner is currently moved to the offensive line. He was moved to the offensive line very early in spring. And you know what? I'm going to put it up here for my buddy down in Miami. I want to see how they hold up against the run. So it'll be very interesting. All right, let's flip over. Let's talk about linebackers. Talk about the inside guys first, because I mean, do y'all even want Brumfield to play? You hope he gets nicked tomorrow in practice, and it's like, nope, you ain't playing Saturday.
Man, I'm torn because I want to see him in action because, I mean, with any transfer, I want to see those guys in action a little bit, especially guys that have played in different levels of competition. I kind of want to see how they acclimate, how they fit in, how quickly they're picking up the system, especially at a position like Mike Linebacker. By all accounts that I've heard, both direct and indirect, he's crushing it. So, but I'd love to see that in a live practice setting.
It's definitely like most guys that come in, if they're new to the team, you do want to see them in some kind of aspect. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to think, like last year when we went, we had never seen Kyron live. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so even though the spring game was like a piece of shit, you know, as far as like who we had blocking for him, like anybody who watched football, and again, you motherfuckers who don't listen, when we try to tell you, when we went and watched the game and we was like, yeah, that's what we expected. Like, he got some juice, and people was like, oh no, he was doing this wrong, he was doing that wrong. I was like,
y'all stat watching.
I could have blocked better for him than they was blocking. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, and I got a bad Achilles and two bad knees. So, hey, you do want to see them in some aspect just to see what they got when the lights turn on. So, you know, even if you don't get to see much, like I'd like to see Brumfield and, you know, all of the new guys, you want to see them at a little bit more. When I say something like, you know, like Tootin, like he's so valuable to our team and we've seen him on the team. Like, I don't need to see nothing out of it. You know, Kyron, like, I know it, most people, if he's got a non-contact jersey on, they like to see him spin it. But, like, we know what he can do. You know what I'm saying? Don't let him get touched. and that's it. You know, we don't want anything to happen in the spring game. But, you know, they're going to want to get out there and they want to have some fun, man. And another thing, like, even though it's not a full, you know, a full stadium, like, those guys want to feel what Lane Stadium is. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they want to see what the live action is, because you either, you know, have heard about it or you've seen it, or, you know, they've been pumping noise to you, or people who played have talked to you about it. So you want to give them some kind of taste of it, because, you know, they're going to be juiced. You know, they're going to be juiced to be out there and perform in front of the home fans. But then also, you know, it just gives you a segue to go into the season. So, yeah, I like to see them get a little bit of run.
You know, I don't want to bring up something that we brought up the last two off seasons, but, you know, the presser happened today. You know, Pry was talking about some folks, and you know whose name came up, right?
Whose name came up, Brian?
Jaden Keller's name came up. Jaden Keller's crushing it, guys. The difference that I'm hearing in this one, though, is that, and he brought it up when he was talking about it, he's like, he's always been a great practice player. He's starting to put it together in the scrimmages. You're starting to see consistency in the scrimmages, and hopefully that translates to being more consistent in games come fall, because you know, we've seen the potential there. We've seen, you know, good athleticism, you know, brings the lumber, but just hasn't always been a very consistent player once he gets on the field. So we'll see if that translates this go around.
I think like one of our big problems that we've had, you know, at Virginia Tech for a long time is that, like, we didn't have, you know, the luxury of letting players, like, develop. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we got somebody and they had something, like, you got to fucking play. We don't have anybody else. You got to go play. So, you know, sometimes we didn't have leadership in certain rooms, or we didn't have, like, because all of them, they all may be.
Dax played way too many snaps in 2018.
Right. You know what I mean? So just things like that. So I think with them bringing in certain players and then having a little bit of experience and things like that, and maybe it's more than football. Like, you got to see how somebody attacks practice, or how somebody, you know, goes out and then goes home and goes to bed. And what time, like, you got to see people grow up and be men to know how to do that. And I'm not saying that's what, you know, Keller's problem may have been, but that's like, that's what college athletes go through. So if you got everybody that's kind of at that same maturity level, then it's hard for them to progress.
Yeah.
But like, if you go look at like our receiving room right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got some receivers that have some experience, so they're able to talk to the younger receivers about, you know, things you can do when you make a mistake, or, you know, coming out of your break this way. Or like I said, even after practice, you know, maybe you don't need to go play the game. Maybe you need to go get in the cold tub, or maybe you need to get in the hot tub, just things like that. So I think having somebody like Brumfield come in, because they talk about how like super smart he is, just like off the field. So I'm sure like he's probably taking care of his body. He's like, I think he may have like a 4.0 or something. I got to go back and look at it. But he's got, you know, they say he's super smart. So I'm sure he's telling that linebacker room, like, this is what I do. You know, this is how I do it. So I'm hoping people follow that lead and move forward. Because what's our guy name that came in last year? The cornerback that left. Shoot.
He went started, to Cincinnati.
Yeah. What's his name? I just lost his name.
I just lost Sheldon. You got anybody?
Brian, you can't remember my guy. I got it. Came in last year.
Wade Nickel went from Georgia.
Yeah, it came from like Georgia Southern or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah, why are we playing?
Canteen.
Yeah,
I knew Sheldon would say this.
So yeah, like when you think about Canteen coming in, you know what I'm saying, last year, and everybody raved about how he attacked practice and how he was such a, like, have a pro mindset. And then you go look at on the field, like, we had a lot of adversity, right? So we had a lot of adversity, but we had a lot of young guys. But if you look at how they grew up, that's because they had some, you know, they had some leadership in front of them, like Dorian Strong and Canteen, those guys. And then, like, Mansoor, he's young. You know, he played great, but he was young. So, you know, Canteen came in and he was able to help just, like, lift the floor of that room. So I think that's what you want when you bring in those older guys.
Yeah, 100%. I think also –
Thank y'all, chat, for letting me know. Look at our Miami guy hopping in there.
He even knows him. But I think the other thing about the Brumfield piece is what it's going to do to help the other positions, because we know, like, Caleb Woodson's playing some will. We know we've got McDonald playing will. Obviously, the way Pry has mentioned it, Keller's playing will. And to have a guy who knows exactly what's going to go on every play, where everybody's supposed to be every single time, that's what we were missing last year. It was like, if we could roll reverse and have – if we got a redshirted Dax in 2022, that defense, which was good last year, would have even taken another step. So it's interesting to see how they – like you're saying, Tally, like you're saying, Brian, how a guy with that much experience who's doing all the right stuff, not only off the field, but making the right calls on the field, how much more confidence that can come. Now, I'm going to flip to the outside position, because with Star, you know there's Jenkins, but the way the room's set up with guys like Gabe Williams, with Caleb Woodson going inside, I think Star's going to be the most fascinating position potentially to watch on the defensive side of the ball, because Jenkins is going to play, but – I think some of those younger guys are going to steal more snaps from him this year. And I don't know if it's going to be Gabe, because we heard from Robbie just last week. Gabe was out there running with ones. Gabe was out there running with the ones as a true freshman. And I know that could just be, you know what?
It's, well, Jenkins was next. So, I mean, he was next man up in this case, because Woodson's been working some inside. So, you know, but I think it's going to be good to see – who's working at that position, not named Jenkins? Whether, you know, is, you know, Woodson still some star, some will? Is Gabe kind of the first man up? You know, I know Gabe from a talent standpoint, I think, is ready. I think maybe from a physical build, maybe isn't quite ready for, you know, first team or kind of first guy up reps. So we'll see if he develops into that. I just want to see him out there.
Yeah, a lot of times it don't matter if you're ready or not. You know what I'm saying? When it deals with football, or even, you know, a team that's up and coming like we are. Because if you think like Mose Phillips, right? Was he ready? We don't know. He looked like he was, but his body looked like it was, but like somebody's gonna get nicked, you know, and that's one of that's been one of Jenkins' things. Like he's had, you know, injury problems that may not keep him out a long time. Like I don't think he's had like super big injuries, but he's had those nagging injuries and things like that. So we gotta find somebody to go in behind him. So
he's gotten nicked during games where he's missed a quarter.
Right.
And what you don't need is like you again, this year's that perfect year. Like the young guy, hey, listen, he just got nicked. You got to play the whole second quarter, and you got to be ready to play. And this is a very, you know, big position for us.
Put up Leroy. Put up Leroy's statement right
Leroy,
here.
Leroy, because we're going to go to that room. Sheldon, anything on the linebacker room you're looking for this week? I know we've been talking. Sheldon's been there calmly, you know, finding Canteen's name. Anything you're looking for in that room?
I mean, just to see how Brumfield plays. Like, I was watching his interview on the Hokie Sports YouTube channel, and that dude is just absolutely jacked, man. Like, I cannot wait to have, cannot wait to have that size. And he, you know, he seems like a really good dude too. Just, you know, has his mind right, and seems like he, you know, is a really good team player. So I can't wait to see, you know, him kind of where he kind of fits in, and just, you know, to have someone who can make plays and, you know, play, you know, with their heels, you know, going forward, I guess, for lack of a better term, and just, you know, with an edge and not, you know, always playing on the heels. Like, that's something that this linebacker room really needs. So I'm looking to see how it kind of fits in there.
Yeah. And just so, like, Tally, you were asking, there's tape out there on Brumfield. They played against Alabama and Missouri last year. He had 10 tackles in those games. He had a forced fumble, 2 tackles for loss, and a sack. So he's played against elite competition. And, you know, some people say, well, he got his stuff late. He got all, like, I don't care. Because even if you're playing the third stringers against those teams, you're playing against good competition. So that'll be interesting to see. Let's flip it over. We already had the man mention it. Leroy mentioned it down here about Mose Phillips, the defensive back room, and the safety.
It's a lot of competition in there, man.
Yep.
It's a lot of competition in those rooms. You know what I'm saying? So,
100%.
The reason we brought Mose Phillips' name up, I mean, it's kind of like we seen him in the spring game last year, right?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, you know, it's going to be some BMF awards, but you like you look at him, he wasn't like, you know, abnormally big like we've seen some people, but at the same time, like he was well built for a freshman to think about, oh, he's supposed to be in high school, but he's already playing, and he was thumping, like he was hitting. So we knew like, oh, well, he might get some run on. I think if we go back, I got to go back and look at the tape. I think we talk about, bro, he probably will be a good, you know, special teams player, get some snaps like that, but somebody gets hurt, you're the next man up. And then he went in. Yeah, he went in and he played, you know, he played admirable for the age that he is. So, yeah, seeing him again, you know, watching a little film on him and seeing, like, his growth and stuff like that. Like, Leroy, I'm with you. I believe he is ready. And we need all that, you know what I'm saying, because iron's got to sharpen iron, you know what I'm saying? And somebody's going to get nicked. Somebody's going to turn their ankle. Now, I don't want any of these kids to get hurt, but it's football. Somebody's going to, you know, get their hand smashed in the helmet and have to come out. So that one play is usually the play that we get gashed or we get, you know, a bomb thrown on us because we have to throw somebody in there that's not ready to go. So if you got that next man up that goes in there and plays, sometimes that's how you get your spot.
Yep. And I think we're looking at, you know, you talked about Mose Phillips last year. I think we're looking at back-to-back years of – true freshman safeties coming in and being contributors in year one. Phillips last year, I think you go ahead and mark Quentin Reddish in that bucket. And I think we're going to see a lot of him in the spring game. And I think we're going to see probably more than a lot of people expected of him come the fall. I know it's a position that we're getting more depth there, but it's still a very young position outside of one or two guys.
Yeah.
Or at least inexperience when you think about a guy like Jalen Jones that's only been playing the position for 1 year. So, but a lot of competition for those, you know, that two deep rotation. And, you know, you got about 6 guys now that are going to, I think, be heavy in that competition leading up to the start of the season. So I'm interested to see some of these younger guys get out there and show us what they can do in the spring game.
Sheldon, anything on the safety room other than, I mean, I think we're going to see it's going to be a lot of safeties on the field. I don't think even Mose is going to get a lot of rest.
Yeah, I mean, they played a ton of guys last year at that spot. I know partly due to injuries and, you know, guys getting ejected. Like Woodson, Stroman, Jones, Phillips, Jenkins, people.
That's one thing we know about Strowman. He getting ejected.
Yeah. it will continue to happen. So they played, I mean, they probably played like six or seven guys, like, you know, over 100 snaps there. They did not add any safeties via the transfer portal. So it seems like Pryor and his staff are kind of, you know, betting on some of those younger guys stepping up. And, you know, obviously with Jenkins and Sherman kind of leading the way, that's, you know, that's a good thing. So, I mean, it seems like they're counting on that room to kind of be, you know, take the next leap. And so I'm going to trust the staff and hope they can do that. So I think maybe this weekend will be a little bit of a precursor to that. We'll see if they can step up.
Absolutely. All right, let's go just real quick corner room. Strong the lane. We know that's locked down. I think what we've seen, it's going to be Lovett, Johnson. And who's the third that comes out of there? Do y'all have anybody? Because Lovett and Johnson are going to play. They played last year. And we'll take a phrase that Tally said. They played admirably last year. Yeah, to be true freshmen, they both played very admirably. But obviously, you want that fifth and sixth, because what it is when you go to nickel, we know Dorian's likely going to slide. We want more than just one guy. So who is it? What's the name that come Monday or come Sunday afternoon? Because Tally and me are going to probably watch it later in the day. Sheldon's going to probably watch it in San Antonio late night. What's the one name we're going to say that kid's going to get a ton of snaps this year?
Corner. I don't know.
All right.
I don't even have an answer. Brian, who you thinking?
You know what? I'm going dark horse here, and I'm keeping it consistent in the secondary with true freshmen coming in and making a little bit of noise. I think we're going to see more of Joshua Clark than I think a lot of people think.
Yeah. All right. John, you got any feelings on this?
Maybe Dante Lovett.
All right. Definitely think Lovett's there. It's really tough to shy away from Clark because of the build, but I'd say keep an eye on Jonathan Penix. Keep an eye on Jonathan Penix, because I think that room, I think there's after spring, I think at least one corner's leaving. Just like I think there's at least one safety leaving at the end of spring.
Because yeah, another guy to keep an eye on probably is going to be Christian Williams. I mean, yeah. I know they said he was nicked, but Price said he should be ready to go for spring games. So.
And see, now I'm going to say why I like Pryor's system, because with doing this, those guys are going to get so much playing time this week, because Dorian and all the guys we know that can play, they're off the field.
Yeah, you're already splitting your number one and number two, and then you take away the fact they're probably only going to play for one quarter max, so those young guys are going to get a lot of run. I'm excited to see it.
All righty. So that closes out the defense. Now let's go to the offensive side of the football, where Tally's already stated everything he wants to state on three of the four position rooms. I know what he's going to say at the offensive line, but I'll let him get that in a minute. Quarterback room, we know it's going to be no contact. And to me, after Kyron plays his two series, Pop and Dylan, somebody got to show out. Because these guys are the same class, they're the same age, they both redshirted last year. Whoever pops is going to be the backup.
No pun intended.
Oh, Alvin said no. He said the name already, so I mean, perfect.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it is. Go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say that, you know, from what it sounds like, from what Pryor was saying at the press earlier today, you know, Whitkey probably a little bit better grasp of the system at the start of spring, but it seems like Pop has kind of passed him in terms of the day-to-day production, what he's done in the scrimmages. You know, we saw him, you know, throw a few darts last year. He's really fast too. He runs really well. So it looks like he's put on a little bit more weight compared to where he was as a true freshman. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to bring to the table. I feel like he is going to be – I think he's going to win the backup battle. I think Whitkey's going to be still a guy that's going to be in the mix some.
But does he stay?
Through fall, but it's hard to – I think he stays. I don't – it's hard to say I don't think we can afford him to leave just because we don't have that many scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. If we had one more scholarship quarterback on the roster, but I you know,
you got Dobby coming in.
Yeah, Dobby's coming in the summer. So,
yeah, you do.
Brian's you do. Like that ain't enough. I want four.
But I don't necessarily know if I want a true freshman a month and a half into his tenure being your number three.
Yeah,
I understand.
That's just me.
Yeah, I don't think he leaves after like a spring. You know what I mean? Well, you never know. Transfer portal stuff now, man. You never know. You never know what's happening, what people are thinking. But Pop's gonna be the backup. I mean, he's got a little bit of oomph to him. That's a little bit different than any of the other backup quarterbacks. But that's just what I'm looking at and what I'm seeing. But it's so hard to again. It's still similar to kind of what we seen with Kyron last year. And you got to be careful with your quarterbacks. But, like, Pop has something that's a little different that you can't really see in a spring game or you can't really see 100% in practice.
Yeah.
Until it's, you know what I'm saying, until it's full speed. So, because he might break a run. He might go for, you know, a 60-yard run because he's so quick. He's so elusive. But, you know, you're not going to get to see that because of the format of the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say they've been talked about in spring. They've taken the orange jerseys off the quarterbacks for, you know, parts of practice, parts of scrimmages. Yeah. So I wonder if they do that with Pop and Whitkey in this situation to kind of get a full feel of what they can get in that type of format.
Yeah. Sheldon, anything to add?
Not really, man. I mean, I think Pop's got to put on some weight. But
that's true.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing, man. He's that frame is not going to cut it in the ACC. I will say that. So,
Pop did, just nothing but protein, right? Nothing but protein at the health center. Like, here's a steak. I want French fries. No, you need another steak. Keep eating. All right, let's flip it here because I think this is going to be one of the more intriguing rooms to watch, and that's going to be the offensive line because. Brian, I know Brian follows it closely. It's something that, you know, playing it for years, Tally, you as well. But let me hear right now, and I got to go off camera for just a second, but who is y'all's eight-man rotation?
Tally, you going to lead on this one?
I mean, I don't care about an eight-man. I just need to know if the people who have been here can do their job. If Parker Clemens is still here and he ain't started working at Royal King yet, can he block somebody in front of him? If Bob Schick is still on the team, can he not look like Bob Schick? That's all I'm saying. The eight-man rotation, I don't know what it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? I still feel like we need another transfer offensive lineman. You know what I'm saying? But – I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go because I know they move people around. And I know Crooks, you know, he's got his hands full with trying to plug things. But, you know, you'll see the Moore brothers and you'll probably see Parker. And I'm hoping that Cunningham's thrown in now. And, I mean, you're going to see Schick too. But, you know, you got a lot of young guys that I just don't know what they have yet. Because, you know, I ain't even mentioned Chaplin. You know what I'm saying? So, I think I just named six there, but you got to have that depth, but you want those top guys to produce, you know what I'm saying? If they're going to start, or if they're going to be, you know, whatever you call it, this all practice player, I just want you to get in a game.
Yeah.
You block. That's what I want to see you do. And it's not like I understand blocking is hard. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying like anybody can just get out there and do it, but If you're consistently doing it in practice, or you're consistently, you know what I'm saying, doing the right things, or if I can see you do the right thing one or two times, it's like that third time. What were you thinking here? You know what I'm saying? Your feet were so perfect on these couple of plays, but then we go to this pivotal down, and it's a mental thing where you jump off sides, or it's a mental thing where you taking false steps and things like that. So more than seeing like a more than seeing the eight-man rotation, like I'm looking at more like what are we doing pre-snaps and what are we doing, you know, stepwise and things like that for the people who's already been here. And I know that Crook will be seeing the most of that, most of the other stuff, and he'll work that out. You know what I'm saying? Because my head, like, I got personal vendettas against some people on that line. You know what I'm saying? Oh man, I got PTSD from some people on that line, man.
Yeah.
If I ever see an offensive lineman and I can see his spikes pointed up to the sky, I don't ever want to see him on the field again. And I've seen a couple of people spikes to the sky. This is not a porno. Get your legs down.
Curtis coming back like, where? How the hell did we get here?
But as soon as I heard that, I know who he's talking about. So,
all right, that's fair. That's fair.
That's fair, right?
I mean, so, you know, we got Chaplin, we got the Moore brothers, we got Parker, we got Schick. We know whether they're starting or not. Those are going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
We still got to talk about Brody Meadows and Montavious Cunningham. So that's just seven.
We're seven. That's a good thing.
Let Johnny Garrett, maybe eight. You know, who else could we throw in there?
Probably Lath.
Lath Ganem.
Ganem. There's been some talk about him.
You know, the other kind of wild card would be what's Hans Hammer's development looking like?
I hope he's good. That's a fucking good ass name. you got to be good. Like, that sounds like a wrestler name or something.
It does. But it's so many of the guys that have come in the last few years. Where do they step up to? Because y'all mentioned Brody. We mentioned Johnny, who were a few years. But now the Gunner move and the Lamar Law move over. How do they play? Does it click for them over there where it didn't click on the defensive line? And they're still, you know, they're redshirt sophomores, both of them. They still got 3 years left. It's still a chance.
And, I mean, offensive line is one of those positions where if you're not starting your second or third year on campus, that you don't need to panic about whether that player is going to develop. Because a lot of times it takes 2 to 3 years for an offensive lineman to fully develop and get to where they're going to be a consistent player for you. So nobody really hit the panic button on any of these young guys yet. And, you know, hopefully, you know, a lot of them start getting, because for a lot of them, it's just going to take getting on the field and getting the reps. That's so much of that puzzle. Because until you get those reps against live competition in real games, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen for you. So getting opportunities in things like the spring game is going to be good for them.
Now, there is one scary thing that I think we all are going – I'm going to be glued to when I get a chance to watch a game. Who is the second person snapping the ball?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get on David. David Cunningham is going to be probably joining us next week. At least we're trying to get him on. No one has asked Pry or any of the coaches that. And the only person that we saw snap a ball last year other than Caden Moore was Jack Hollyfield. And he's gone.
Yeah, I do.
So we have one center. That's scary time. So it's going to be interesting when that comes out. I don't know if it'll be Friday night, Saturday morning. Who's the center on opposite Caden Moore?
Yeah.
I think
that's a good question.
But overall, I think the offensive line, where this offensive line was in 2022 to where it is now, y'all, we mentioned 7-8 guys that we feel like, okay, they can at least play. They might occasionally get their spikes up, and Tally's going to be throwing things at the TV, but they can play. It's not like you're sitting over here like this guy doesn't even deserve to be on the field. It's so
right. Rare.
So, yeah. Anything else y'all want to talk about on the offensive line?
Just block. That's all I want to see you do. Hold hands like you're playing Red Rover if you got to. And don't let somebody just push you down. Do something. We was looking rough last year, man. Jesus Christ. We was getting flipped around, turned around, slapped up, flipped, rub it down, Shelton. That's what was happening.
They got better.
And somehow still better than 2022.
I'm talking about in the spring game. I'm just talking about
Yeah.
I'm talking about like all through the season. I'm just talking about spring game.
But that
so, yeah, during the season, they got better.
But Sheldon, to your point, from what 365 days ago, Sheldon, this the offensive line did get better.
Mm-hmm.
That's a testament to where it was.
I don't feel the same degree of panic that I felt last year, and I definitely don't feel the same degree of panic I felt going into the first spring game. Oh, so
Brian was sitting by mid the spring game. Brian was sitting by mid the spring game. He's like, "We ain't gonna see nothing. We can't see nothing. Look at him. Look at him." They was. I think the offensive line was blocking each other.
Yeah, it was man, come on.
It was snap. It was snap and two hand touch, Kyron. That's what we seen.
I was like, come on, man. I just want to see give me 4 seconds. I just want to see 4 seconds of something.
But yeah, no. To Sheldon's point, though, you know, I'm joking and ragging on the offensive line during the season. Of course, I mean, we've said on here plenty of times like they did get better. You know, that's a testament. You know, the play calling was a little bit different, but you know, when you get some confidence and you got a signal caller that's got some confidence, I think it gives your offensive line a little bit of confidence as well. So I'd be fired up for the boys, man. Let the Hawks go out here and do a little dancing. Maybe we'll do a UVA tackle pass or something.
Yeah,
let somebody dive in the end zone. I don't know.
Give Parker his moment in the sun.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to flip
this. Ain't that play where I run around and look like I'm lost in it.
All right, just so y'all know, the dog is in here with me. She is being a something tonight, so you will hear barking for the remainder of this program, likely. Running back room, can I just say this is what I want to see? Because we know what Tootin is, we know what Thomas is. We've heard them rave about Jeremiah Coney since the day he stepped on. Yeah. I want to see him make some plays from the backfield. And why do I want to see him make plays? I want to see competition. I want Malachi Thomas to have to think he's coming for the number two spot. He's coming.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, even when you say, like, we know what Malachi Thomas is, we really don't. Like, everything that we've seen of him, he's been hurt most of the time. You know, we've seen him produce a little bit, but he's got hurt a lot. So, I mean, he's got a lot to prove this year, you know, if he's wanting to go forward and when Tootin leaves, take that number one spot. So we'll see. We've heard a lot about Tyler Mason as well, you know, the true freshman. So we'll see what he got.
Yeah, I want to see a lot of Coney and Mason. I think that's what I really want to see in the spring game. Give me a good run of Thomas. I think just, you know, give him some run. I don't think we're going to see Tootin very much at all. We know what we got with Tootin. Let me see a little bit of Thomas. Let me see a whole lot of Coney and a whole lot of Mason.
Yep. Sheldon, anything to add on top of that?
Nope. I think we're pretty set. I kind of forgot that Malachi Thomas existed, honestly.
Oops.
Yeah, we'll see if we can do something.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to see.
You're going to miss Bryce Duke, Brian.
You know, I don't think so with Mason coming in.
Sheldon said no.
I don't think so with Mason coming in. I think Mason can do everything that he could do and then a little bit more.
I didn't see that. She does. She's a dog. All right. Tight end room we know is beat all to hell. Gallo recovering. Gosnell recovering. I mean, I saw St. Germain play solid up in a rain soak game up at Navy. He's gonna get run. Wimbush gonna get run.
I mean, from the reports that I've seen and heard, they say he's looking good. So they're saying he's ready to take the next step. But of course it's all hearsay. But we've seen him in the game too. You know what I'm saying? We've seen him get some run and we've seen him do some things. So I'd like to see what step he takes. But the thing with the tight end room is, like you said, you know, and Gallo is coming off an injury, and Benji, you know, has kind of had some injury problems as well. So if you got St. Germain, who comes in behind him? You know, I guess that's where the thing is, because if those guys aren't, you know, their full potential, who do you have behind him? So that's where you I don't want to say worry, but that's what you want to see. I guess that's what a spring game is for, to see who that other tight end is.
I want to see a whole lot of Zeke Wimbush.
Yeah, yeah. I heard some good stuff about Zeke.
I feel like, you know, when we look at taking up some of the type of play calls and position that Daquan Wright was able to slide into, I feel like his skill set fits that role best. Of the guys that we have coming back, especially, when you look at the guys that are banged up right now. So it's going to be good. It's kind of getting a whole big dose of him in the spring game. So I'm going to look and see what he can do and see if he's ready to go to fill in that role.
Man, I hate that Daquan Wright left. I hate that. I mean, I really like what he brought. And you know what I'm saying? I guess for me, kind of got spoiled because you went from, like, you know, James Mitchell, then Daquan Wright. So you had a little bit of a playmaker at tight end in those guys in those years. But no disrespect to Gallo. Gallo does his job, but it's just a different type of tight end. So if he's full go, you know what I'm saying, he just gives you something a little bit different. And I think that if you look at, like, you know, a lot of the NFL teams that are winning, like, they have a hybrid tight end. You know what I'm saying? I think that's kind of the wave of the new wave of what the tight end position evolves to. Yeah. So I'm interested to see which one of these guys. And I mean, I've seen a little bit of that from Benji, you know, and St. Germain a little bit, but more of Benji than St. Germain. So I'm interested to see that.
Yeah, they both have some of that, but I think Wimbush fits more of that mold in terms of just being an athlete,
athletic,
being kind of a big wide receiver that can slide inside and block a little bit too.
All righty. Well, we got one last room to hit. And I think I think we wrote it this way because this is the most interesting room from a perspective of with the wide receiver room is the big four. We know what they can do. We know what all four of them can do. And we go into this season looking for, obviously, you want 5 and 6. Heck, you want 7. But this is also a year where who's going to be the guys next spring that are taking the passes? Sheldon, just looking at the wide receiver room, take out the big four, take out Jay Lane, take out Quan Felton, take out Ollie Jennings, and take out Steven Gosnell. The only one we won't see Saturday is Steven. The other three, I think, Dallas Point, I don't think we'll see much. But do you have anybody that caught your eye maybe last year or from a recruiting perspective that you say, I want to see him on the field at Lane?
Yeah, I mean, I think XTV got a lot better as the season progressed. I mean, I think he provides a huge speed element that they're missing. I'm sure there's probably some little things that, you know, maybe kept him off the field as a gun player, you know, last year. But, you know, I think he can play a bigger role. And then also Aiden Green, I've heard some good things about him. So I'd say those two guys.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of Aiden Green. I'm really interested to see him kind of step into that, you know, filling in that kind of – fourth spot since Gosnell's out. I feel like he's going to be kind of the next man up from that perspective. Excited to see XTB get a little bit more run in non-gadget plays, seeing what he can do in more traditional route tree type things. I think, you know, obviously the young guys that we've talked about, Brody and Chance, I want to see what they can do. And I think the biggest unknown, but the name that I've started to hear a little bit kind of as spring practice has worked on is, you know, seeing Chance Fitzgerald come around a little bit too, because, you know, after this year, there's going to be a lot of youth kind of moving into those roles. And I'm interested to see how those guys are going to step up. I think we've seen Aiden do it in small sample size so far. You know, we've seen, you know, what Chance can do and what Brody can do in some of this practice footage. But, you know, some of those guys are going to be asked to take on a very big role heading into 2025. So I want to see that kind of that transition start with this spring game and getting those guys a lot of reps and getting acclimated and showing what they can do.
Keelan, man, I got to see Keelan. I got to see Keelan Adams. Again, man, when you think about the wide receiver position at Virginia Tech, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect to any of the guys that's played. Like, we haven't had, like, an explosive wide receiver like we have on our roster right now. You know, even besides Keelan, but, you know what I'm saying, to be, you know, highly ranked like he was coming in, it's going to be a lot of eyes on him from other Virginia guys. But also, like, the fan base hadn't seen really what he is because he's a He's a route running technician. Like, that's what he does. You know, all of the stuff that you do during the spring where you're pulling tires and tower pull-ups and all that stuff, a wide receiver like Keelan Adams is a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? So I'd like to see him get some work. And I mean, I've seen him on some one-on-one routes, and he does what he does. So I'm going to be excited for him to see, or I'm going to be excited for the fan base to see, like, what he can do, you know, moving forward. And like Brian said, you know, think about, like, Aiden Green and even Chance Fitzgerald next year when that top four guys leave. You know, they're going to be the veterans. And the thing, Aiden Green's going to be a junior next year. Seems like he just got on campus, you know what I mean? Which he really did. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a freshman.
Yep.
But he'll be a junior next year and leading the charge. So you're interested to see, you know, what the progression of all of those guys is. But if I'm looking at, like, one guy in that wide receiver room, I got to say Keelan.
I see Keelan. I understand that. With everything he's done, I think the piece I want to see is when those big four are off the field, or the big three, since Steven's going to be banged up, I want to see who's leading, because I think we keep making this point. Those guys are gone next year. Those guys are gone next year. I want to see who on the field is maybe barking. Who's the leader of the group? Who's going to become the next leader of the Bad Boys with Final Tail Minds? Because I think that's going to be the guy that we see in this game, especially after the first quarter, make the plays, get blocks downfield, get on somebody's butt for not doing something. And because they're all relatively young, and there's not like there's a redshirt, you know, sophomore who's played or had a good bit of play where he can say, this is, I'm going to take the mantle and run with it. Because like you just said with Aiden Green's a sophomore. He's 1 year ahead of guys like Chance Williams and guys like Brody Adams. So who becomes the leader of that group? Because I think right now, I don't think we can say in the four that's there that there is one alpha dog. I think they all have their collective roles, and I think they all have their different personalities, and they all lead really well at times. So it's going to be interesting to see that. All right. Anything else y'all were looking for Saturday on any aspect?
The alpha dog on this podcast is Curtis's dog.
Listen, it's either disturb y'all and make Brian have to edit this a little bit, or wake up my kids. I love y'all.
You're making the right move, man.
Want to do that.
No, not at all. But
you know what? I mean, hey, our listeners stuck through state of the program drunken shenanigans. I think they can handle the dog barking for 30 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I might be up like half the night with her if she don't go crazy. By the way, Tally, we are looking forward next week to the BMF Awards after you see these guys with pads on. He doesn't get to see them up front here.
Y'all got to understand how far we came, though, man. Like, we got a spring game on TV. You know what I'm saying, man? We get to watch it on TV. We got the streaming. You know what I'm saying? We got pregame shows. Like, a couple of years ago, man, we wasn't getting none of this. We weren't getting no coverage. So,
very true.
Excited.
Super excited. Well, boys, unless something has broken, in which I don't think anything has in a little while here, I'm going to wrap up this episode of the Boundary Corner Podcast brought to you by Main Street Pharmacy. I'm Curtis Wilson.
I'm Brian Siegler.
Taliban's.
Sheldon Moss.
Check out BoundaryCornerBT.com. Listen to all of our episodes. Check us out, me, Tally, and Brian on the College Huddle. Is that right, Brian? College Huddle. Talking some realignment stuff. I don't know when that's dropping. I'm sure you'll see Brian drop it out on the Boundary Corner Twitter site. Also, while you're on our website, continue to follow us, up to 2,700 plus on that. We really appreciate it. Facebook, Instagram, go to subscribe on the YouTube, all the podcast sources you can think of. Check out our buddy Jason Long, who plays us in, plays us out every week, jasonlongmusic.com. Connect you to where his live events are this spring, along with his Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, Facebook pages. We thank you all for listening. As always, let's go.
Okay. Peace.